Welcome, everyone. We are at the begin. Bezes Hashem, Shalom Bayis, share number 446. We talked in the last share about two types of healthy communication. Before that, we mentioned that in order to assert in a healthy way, validation is a healthy way to start, and meta statements, which means you set the stage by explaining what you're about to say. Like, I'm going to say something about how I'm feeling, and I don't expect you to feel the same way that you do, that I do, but I want you to know how I'm feeling. And then we talked about two categories of expressing yourself. Number one is a fact. You know, you were on the phone with your mother the entire time I was home for breakfast today. Or a feeling and an opinion in a healthy way, where you're using it as an I statement. I feel unloved when this happens. Where you're taking responsibility of those feelings yourself. You're not finger pointing. I felt disappointed when you forgot my birthday. A statement of fact in a certain way by expressing your feelings. And now we're going to go to a third category, which is requests. This is more than stating your feelings. It's a request, though, that your spouse satisfies your unmet need. This is like the level four category of saying, I don't like when you do this, please do this instead. You're putting in a request on record. What you would like to have happen. What your spouse could do to meet your need or reduce your discomfort about something. What you need to understand often here is that your needs are not obvious. People don't know how to read minds. People often hold back from making direct requests to test the love. They think if my spouse really cared about me, they would have the intuition to know what my need is and want to fulfill it. They may give out hints and veiled references, but they don't ask outright. And that is not a healthy thing. Husbands do this, wives do this. Where if they really loved me, they would know. But it's not so obvious. You have to express it. And what happens is that because of making these assumptions, you make a false assumption, then another false assumption, and then you have a heavy load of hurt and resentment, which easily could have been clarified by simply articulating clearly and fully, this is what I need, this is what I want. And drop the mind-reading mentality. If they really care, they would know. And sometimes it's true that your spouse may know your need and doesn't want to fulfill it because it conflicts with their own need. But still, you could make the request and say it's important enough for me that I'm willing to officially ask for it. That may motivate your spouse to do it, even though they have another need as well, because you know that it's really coming from a real place of what they really feel they need. But the key really is these requests need to come without blaming, without commentary, just stating it out in the open. They know how it's affecting you. You're just outlining the solution. This is the solution. A direct request. People are not used to doing that. The alternative, what people a lot of times do is, because they want to bury it, they're not comfortable making a direct request. It's in a way arrogant that you're not making the direct request. You're saying, like, I'm above this, when you're really not. You need something, you want to express it in a healthy way. It is the alternative of that would be living in a world where you have secret agendas all the time, and hints, and innuendos, and most likely resentments, and it's not healthy to do that. So here is the idea we mentioned a few times before, where the wife, Shira, wants the children to be in bed at a certain earlier time, so she has time for herself and with her husband later, and the father, Eli, is not so makbid with that and wants to interact with the children more and wants bedtime to be a little bit later. So on her end, let's give an example of her healthy way of expressing a request. Ellie, it's very important to me to have some time to myself at the end of the day. Please be aware of the kids' bedtime and start winding down 10 minutes before then. Or when she says, I don't like when you joke about me with the children. Oh, here comes mommy. You know, please don't do that anymore. Just talk to me if you have an issue with what I'm doing. Or she could say, I don't always have to do bedtime. It makes me look like an ogre or a monster. So one night a week, I want to play with them and you do the bedtime routine. So these are simple requests that she's making. He could make his own requests. Like, for example, I don't feel when you walk into the room and give me the same heavy sigh that you give the children. I don't like that. So please tell me explicitly if there's a problem. Or he could say the children's bedtime is too early for me because it leaves me little time to be with them. Please let's make the bedtime 15 minutes, a half hour later. Or I don't like the way you speak to the children about me. Please talk about me in a more respectful way. So both sides, they're making straightforward, polite requests. Not with emotionality, not with tears, not with a loud voice, not with an angry face. That could spark arguments. Here is where the emotions need to be toned down and use your seichel to make requests in a proper, healthy way. The other spouse may react with sulking or fury or whatever it is. We'll talk about that later if they respond that way. But you're doing the right way by making a polite request. Now, if you made a polite request and your spouse received that polite request poorly, that could be that means you didn't word it right, but it could be that you did nothing wrong. You did nothing wrong. You're just finally placing a boundary that they're not used to you placing. So that's category 3, requests. Category 4, which is the final step, which is actually taking action, is like declaring your independence where the ball is in your court. And this is basically sort of like saying, if you yell at me, I'm going to go out until you cool down. That's not an ultimatum or a threat. What's the difference between taking a healthy action and threatening? What's the difference between the two? The answer is as follows. A threat is something that you probably won't follow on because it's too drastic, too provocative. You know, if you don't put away that phone, I'm going to smash it. You know, I'm going to, you know, if you don't respect me by the table, I'm going to break the table. Okay, that's threatening and that's not normal. The type of communication we're discussing here is neutrally informing the other person of a normal action that you're to take. Like, if you yell at me, I'm going to walk out of the room. That's normal. A threat and ultimatum is a form of manipulation, you know? But here, it's not manipulation. It's not that I'm going to do this to my spouse. I'm doing it for myself. It's just a plan B. I'm not trying to antagonize you. When you yell at me, I'm walking out of the room, not because I want to show you. I'm doing it for myself. It's healthy for me to move out of the room until you calm down. So that's the difference between a real being, you know, threat and being ultimatums versus simply doing the right thing by taking healthy action. So in the case of, let's say, the bedtime scenario between the Shira and Ellie, she may say, you know, if I can't have the kids calm down in bed by 8, you know something, then I'll leave the rest of bedtime to you. I'll do my other errands. You'll take care of the baths, the stories, and everything else. So she throws the onus on those long bedtimes onto her husband, and she removes herself from that draining situation. Now, sometimes when Ellie does this, he'll realize now Shira's right. It's not so easy to get them into bed and to calm them down. And he'll start recognizing that and relieve her of that responsibility often, or share it more. Or it's possible Ellie may say, you can't do that because I have to go to Myriv. And she may think, I can't leave to do bedtime now because he needs to go to Myriv and I'm a bad wife if I make him miss Minyan. But not always true. She could still say, no, I'll leave the house. You could have a Myriv later. That's your choice. So, again, you're doing this in a normal, healthy, logical way to avoid further frustration. But again, this is something that is better to avoid if you can, but sometimes it's necessary. Unfortunately, in cases where one of the spouses lack a natural empathy, and there's a lot of self-centeredness or immaturity or narcissism or addiction, then this mode needs to be used a lot in order to survive. To take that healthy action, whether the spouse is happy about it or not, just to simply exist, which is a very sad state, but sometimes it needs to happen that way. But even healthy couples and good marriages sometimes need this type of thing, needs to be used with a certain seichel, in a certain way. So, for example, the wife is keeping the home neat and off very, very neat. And it bothers, the husband comes home, leaves the jacket, hat, and shoes around the dining room. So they can make sort of a bishara, leaning it nicely on a chair and putting the hat on the table. Those two things being on the thing with everything else not, is not the worst thing in the world. And they could just be mavatar on that and leave it at that. But if it's something that really, really bothers the wife, then they could talk about it. And maybe he should really work on putting it in the closet. And at some points, you could say, you know, if I'll put it in the closet myself. And then the husband goes, sees it's in the closet, gets upset. Why'd you move it there? But then, you know, she's simply doing it in a normal way, but he gets upset. But then he realized his wife's only asking him for a small thing. What's the big deal to put it in the closet? And he'll resolve to do what she asks. So the idea being is these are dynamics happen all the time. Of course, it's better to rise above it and not make a big deal about these things. So just to review everything we just said here, there's four elements of communication, which we're going to state in a minute again. But it's helped by two things, validation and metastatements. The validation means acknowledging the other point of view. Metastatements means what you're going to say, you're about to say something that you may not agree with. You're just making a hagdama. And the idea is when, and then you have these four ways of communicating. One of them is to state facts as you see them. Number two is express your feelings and opinions as you experience them. Number three is forthright requests of what you need. And number four, to take action to extricate yourself from a negative situation. Your marriage will be more peaceful. Obviously, if both of you do these things in a healthy way, it'll be tremendously helpful to avoid enmeshment and to have a healthy relationship. But even if only one of you is doing this, it takes two to tango. So one of them doing this certainly helps the situation in a great way. Bracha natzlacha.